Today, I get to introduce you to one of my longest friends in the online space. Her name is Molly Kaiser. She was in the photography industry with me and also made a big pivot in her business last year after COVID hit. And we had the most wonderful conversation that went all over the place. We talked about the biggest mindset shifts that we've made since we started our businesses and how we are growing our businesses differently now. We talk about the importance of messaging and how that shapes everything. We talk about focus. We talk about hiring. We get into all sorts of wonderful topics. I know you're going to enjoy it. So let's dive into this phenomenal podcast.
Welcome to the Bright Entrepreneur Podcast with Jamie Swanson, the podcast for smart, transformation-driven entrepreneurs who believe that we are brighter together and can make our greatest impact on the world by building a movement of crazy loyal customers around our business instead of trying to do it all alone. We'll talk about how to grow your business with intention, simplicity, and by focusing on creating a brighter future for both your customers and the world. So let's make it brighter.
Molly has been a dear friend of mine for, gosh, how long, Molly? Ages? Like 7, 8, 9 years?
Yeah, like what? Probably 8, I think.
Forever? A very long time. And we have both grown businesses starting in the photography industry and then pivoting away. And she is just one of my dearest colleagues. And I'm so excited to I am so excited to have her here today and to introduce her to you. So Molly, would you take a quick moment and share like super brief, like a little bit of your journey and where you are now and what you're doing now, just so people kind of have context of who you are?
Sure. So hello guys. So yeah, I started out, let's see here, many years ago, I dropped out of college, started a photography business with 81 cents to my name, was living with my grandma, low times. And I grew that photography business to multiple six figures. So other people started asking me how I was able to do that. And so I started doing a little bit of coaching. And if you're doing coaching right now, you might relate to this. I felt like I kept repeating myself over and over. So I thought, you know, what if I take the same information and put it into an online course? So I put it into an online course. And for the last 6 years, I had an online course for photographers, one of which we grew to $2 million a year. And then when the pandemic hit, I actually made the decision to pivot, and I can maybe share more on that later on in the episode, but, now my one and sole focus business is called Profitable Courses. So I am a course expert and I help people just like you turn their passion into an online course.
Yes. And you do such a good job of making things so clear and simple. You're such a good teacher. So, all right, Molly, what I really want to dive into right away in our conversation and just see where it takes us is talking about now that you've pivoted about a year ago. Gosh, it's almost exactly a year. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. What month is it? March.
It's
yeah.
March. Yeah. What month like is
one, 1 month short of a year.
March 12th is the day that it hit me. Oh my God. What month is it? That's so like,
yeah, I think pandemic. May, like April, I started to pivot. And I think May was like the official start of the new. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like right away you knew, but, since you've been through this pivot, I would love to, just basically have a conversation about how you're building your business differently now and like how I've been building mine differently now than back when we started and how that mindset has changed for you. So like you want to start, like how is your mindset different today than it was way back when you started?
Wow, it's crazy. I would say the first thing that comes to mind is just almost like a calmness, a sureness and focus. And I will say, you know, when you're starting your first business ever, I feel like you are going to go through a little bit of chaos just because you're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And I feel like that was sort of my last business was just like Jamie actually, and I were talking about this a different day. And she said, it's almost like you got your, master's in business with your last company. Mm-hmm. Like you got paid to grow that company, you know, because it was profitable. And that is how I feel about it. Now with the new company, it's so clear to me, like what we need to do to have success and to help our students. And it's just such a clear path. And so I don't feel that chaos in this business. But I do think that that is because of the journey I had before and what I learned in terms of trying all the things. Like we tried all the things.
We absolutely did. And I think some of them we did together even sometimes. So
I feel like, yeah, we did. Yeah. Like one of us would have an idea. We would try it. Oh, this works. That works. Yeah. I feel like you tried a lot of different things as well.
I think I tried everything. I've done quiz funnels.
That's how I feel about it
too. Webinars and Evergreen and launch
memberships, challenges, like tiny offer, you know, mini everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't done teleseminars. I think I came in just late enough to skip that.
I've been involved in many teleseminars.
We're getting old here.
Yeah,
I was reflecting on this because 2 days ago, as we're recording this, was my 10-year anniversary of starting my online business. So it was so different having a blog before Facebook Lives, and like you had to have a blog and know how to code like HTML and all. I mean, it was just, there was no video.
Blogging honestly feels like a different lifetime. And yeah, like you'd have to code on the sidebar your opt-in and be like, you know,
open all the CSS.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no place to host video, and like
it was it's image or img space source equal. Yeah.
All the I know, all the stuff. It's just crazy to think about business before before it was so easy, and at least in terms of technology, which it kept the barrier to entry higher then, and it was easier because there was less competition, but I think there's never been an easier time to start a business. So anyways, I'm getting off on a tangent, which is fun. These are conversations, but so what is one thing I would love? So you talked a little bit about the mindset. You have this assurance and this confidence because you've done it. You've proved to yourself that you can do this. And so, you know, you can repeat it. And so as you're coming into you're not quite a year into the new business yet. What would you say is the biggest difference now with how you're growing your business versus back then when we were just throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what was sticking?
Yeah, that really does describe what I did last time for sure. I'm going to say we a lot because my husband actually co-owns this new business with me. My last business I started on my own, and then he eventually joined it.
I'm super jealous that you cool, have him, you know, have him doing your ads and all the things.
Employ my husband, but no, now we're co-owners. Which I would highly recommend. It's better to have your husband as a co-owner than an employee, but anyways.
Yes, been there with that dynamic too. I agree.
I would say the biggest thing is going into the new business with a strategy. So I know a lot of people think they need like a business plan. I don't necessarily think you need a business plan because I think that can sometimes be something where you're trying to fit a lot of things into a document to say like, I have a business plan, but rather you should have a clear plan that's just simple. So for me, for example, with my last business, it was like, okay, I have this successful photography business. People want to learn it. I'm going to start a blog. And then, now people want to buy things from me. What do they want to buy from me? Okay, they want to buy a posing guide. Well, I should ask them what they want to buy next. Okay, what do you guys want to buy? Oh, you want to buy this thing. Okay, cool. I'm going to make that next. Whereas with this company, it's very clear. Like I came, you know, I just sat down and thought about who do I want to help? What's the one thing that's going to get them X result? And then, you know, I'm only going to have one product, one business. And what are the vehicles we're going to sell that product? So I would say the biggest shift is my last business was what products am I going to create for people to buy? And I would just keep creating new products and new ways to sell them and all the things. Whereas now I understand that one product is really a business, just one product in itself. So with the new company, it's like, okay, how can we take this one product and sell it in all these different ways to reach even more people and impact even more people while remaining calm, cool, collected, enjoying life and not, you know, having a million different products, which is like running a million different businesses, basically.
It is. And I think this is why I was so excited to have you come, because we both have made this shift as we've been restarting. Like, I don't want to have like a bajillion products and 150 blog posts and like all the stuff just for the sake of having the stuff. It's like, what is the one thing that's most aligned with who I am that I can just go deep and focus on and say no to everything else and just sell the one thing, just sell the one thing, just sell the one thing and make it as easy as possible. And it's such a huge mindset shift from what I used to do before. I think, I don't know. I think I felt like I needed to be busier. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know what? So I proudly go to weekly therapy now. And I actually wrote down yesterday. Wait, what was it that you just said, Jamie?
I need to be busy.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote down that I was like, I was really burying myself in my work. It's really no different than any other addiction, in my opinion. Yeah. That could be like a whole podcast topic in itself. But I was going to say, in terms of the one product thing that you and I were just talking about, I also think that we could share about how, like you, for example, you've picked podcasting to be like your one focus for, you know, I guess traffic or whatever you want to call it. Uh-huh. Would you say that that's accurate?
Oh yeah. This is my only free content platform and everything else feeds this. So like I have emails, but they feed the pod, they send people to the podcast. It's not separate content. So yeah, totally podcasting.
Yeah. I just wanted to point that out, that it's like one business, one product, but also, you know, be strategic with the one thing that you're focusing on. Cause I see a lot of people trying to be on all the social platforms before they've even sold like one customer. And it's just like a cycle that'll never end because you can't do all the channels perfectly by yourself.
Yeah. I call it FOMO marketing because like they have this fear that they're missing out on these amazing clients that are on Instagram or Facebook or like podcasting.
But there's people there.
Right. And what if that's the place where everything blows up? And so people feel like they need to be everywhere because they've got this massive fear of missing out and that they're not going to find, like, they're just, you know, they just got to try and find the one thing that's going to work.
The platform that will explode is the one that you focus on.
Yes. Yes. You get it. That's why. Like pick one. Because here's why, because most people do that like shallow little bit of everything. You know, they're like, well, I got to do just enough Instagram and just enough this. Mm-hmm. And they do like the 5 or 10% that everyone does. And they don't have the capacity to go deep in one of them and really learn it inside and out. And if you would take all of that effort and go deep into one platform, and it doesn't even really matter which one it is, as long as your customers are there.
It really doesn't. Exactly. I agree with you.
Yeah. So like, as long as they do that and they go deep, they're going to beat out like 90% of the people on the platform who are just doing like the bare minimum. And mm-hmm. then they're going to get way better results. It really doesn't matter which one it is.
No, I totally agree with you. Like with this, so with my last business, I totally tried to do all the things at once. And with this business, I started with one thing. I would say the
one
thing that I started with was Facebook groups. Uh-huh. That's the one that I just chose to start with. And then once I had mastered and automated that, then we went to Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. Then we have that outsourced and running. And to be fair, we have quite a bit of experience with Facebook ads. So it's something that probably the first time you do it will take you years to get, but now that we've done it, you know, and then I hired a Pinterest agency. Then I hired an employee to do Instagram and other things. So it's like, totally. I wasn't doing them myself. I like mastered one and then I would outsource or hire to do the next thing.
Can I tell why you can do that? Can I share?
Yeah.
You have like the most brilliant, beautiful, tight messaging of anyone I know.
Oh, thank you. I don't even think I knew this.
Well, no, but think about it. So can you tell people like why it's so easy for you to hand this off to other people? Like, you know, because I think a lot of people think, well, what are they going to write or what's the voice or whatever? Like, so I know your systems because you've shared them with me. You want to talk a little bit about how you approach messaging so that you can do that?
Yeah, actually, I'm so glad you brought this up because to be honest with you, so I actually kept a notebook while I was starting my new business because just like what just happened, I almost forgot that I went through so many months of perfecting the messaging. You're right. So it's like, yeah, I started with Facebook groups, but I also spent probably 3 or 4 months just perfecting the messaging and building like systems around the messaging. So yeah, one thing that I did was I created a document. I think it's just called like Profitable Courses Master Messaging or something like that. And it has in there, you know, it explains who is our ideal client. It explains what's our mission in one sentence. So we help people turn their passion into an online course. Like that's our mission, super simple. And then I wrote down like, what are all of our customers' false beliefs? I think I have like over 100 false beliefs, which is, you know, they would say something like, I don't think I can do a course because I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have money, I don't have an idea. Like all those things are false beliefs. And then I just also thought I wrote down all the other things that we would need for messaging. And then I also created a Trello board called, I think I called it my story vault or something like that. And I think this is the thing Jamie's remembering.
Uh-huh.
It's been a while since I made it, but we still use it, of course. So yeah, I came up with what are all of my different personal stories? What are the false beliefs? And how can I tie those stories and false beliefs to create the messaging? So like every social post, every email, everything, we use the story vault to sort of build that messaging. And then the cool thing is, you know, once you have a solid amount of, it doesn't matter what it is, let's just say you have a solid amount of podcasts, a solid amount of blog posts, a solid amount of emails, whatever that is, then anytime you bring on someone or outsource or hire, you know, you can just, they can repurpose the content that's, you know, the messaging and that's already exists, which that's a huge shift from my last business.
Yes.
I wrote a blog post every day for like 5 years or something, or every week, excuse me. But still, and it's like, I got to the point where I'm like, I don't have anything left to say. And then I thought like, oh no, is that horrible? Like, does this mean my business is dead? And it's like, no, it just, you know, you should really, there's nothing wrong with repeating because people are not hearing every single thing that you say on every single platform. So there's nothing wrong with repurposing.
Yeah, no. And actually, for me, I mean, I've followed Stu McLaren for several years now. It hit me, I think about 2 or 2.5 years ago, I was at this workshop. I'm like, oh my goodness, I know Stu's messaging better than I know my own because he repeats it over and over and over and over and over again. And he has this core messaging that if people hear this and they believe in this, like it's plenty, it's more than he needs and it will attract the right people. And that's all they need to want to do the Tribe course. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is my messaging? Like, what is the core messaging? And I don't think there's not a lot of people talking about having like that messaging where it's the same stories that hit the same false beliefs so that people can actually believe it's possible for them and they can see themselves in your story. And that you can, you know, you can write these out as big, long stories and then grab a tiny chunk of one for an Instagram post or, you know, you don't have to use the whole thing all the time. But when you have that bank and you have all of those things very intentionally like selected, which is why I think it's so impressive. And it's totally everything that I've been thinking about as I start over is like, what is the messaging? What are the stories? What are the things people need to hear? And how can I repeat them again and again and again in ways that may not sound like just repetition, but like in different contexts? So like, maybe I'll share your story, Molly, and talk about focus. And then I'll share my friend Bree's story and talk about focus. You know, like you can use the same core messages with
like trail running or what, and like tie that in.
Yes.
Jamie is the queen of taking like what I would think wouldn't be like cool enough to write about and making it just so interesting. I feel like that's
Thank you.
Total gift.
Actually, it's so funny because I was doing stairs yesterday. I tricked my brain into doing a bunch of stairs. And I was like, this is a great, actually shared it in my mastermind today, the group, the Brighter Together mastermind that I run. And one of the guys in the mastermind, his name is Richard Ralston. And he has this like obvious next step thing where it's like when you're doing accountability and you're trying to get something done, you don't have to worry about all the things you have to do. Just figure out what is the obvious next step, like tiny itty bitty next step. So if I want to go for a run, the next step is like putting on my shoes or maybe finding my shoes or whatever it is. And so I there's these stairs that I love to run and they've been icy. They haven't been ready. And I shouldn't say that. I don't love running them. I don't run them. I climb them, but they allow me to run the trail. And so I do them because it's really good for me. And I went by them. I'm like, oh my gosh, the snow has melted. They're clear. I'm like, I've got to do one set of stairs. It's 110. So I'm like, I have to do one flight of 110 stairs just to honor the staircase and that it's open.
I love it.
And so I did. So I went down and I kind of ran up it because I was only going to do one. And I got to the top and I'm like, well, if I'm going to do one, like I should really do like five. Cause like, I should just do a few more.
We need to really honor it.
Yeah. Let's, I mean, I should do a couple more. Like it's good for me. It would be a good start to the year. And so I do five and I get to the top and I'm like, well, five's kind of wimpy. Like I could do a couple more. Like I did 65 at the height of last summer, which is insane. I'm like
65 sets,
65 sets of them. Yeah. It was like
I'm like 65 stairs. That's good.
65 sets of 110 stairs.
Wow,
so you can do the math. It was insane. So I'm like, 5 is not even 10% of that. Like, I should do a couple more. I'm like, I should do 8. Why 8? No idea. So I did a couple more and I got to 8. And I'm like, well, 8 is really close to 10. I should just do 10. And I'm like in my head, I'm doing this. And I do 2 more and then I get to 10 and I'm like, oh, but I'm at like 820 feet of elevation. I could get to 1,000 by doing 3 more. And so then I did 3 more and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just did 13. And today, oh my gosh, my legs were like shaking by the end because I'm so not in shape for that. And today I felt really sore, but I'm like, that's an example of like the stories that it's same mm-hmm. in business. You don't need to know all the steps. You don't even need to know exactly where you're going. Like maybe you kind of know, you just got to take that next step. So sorry, I just totally storied out something really ignore it. Boring.
Cause I remember like a few, I don't remember how many years ago, but Jamie wrote this blog post that was like comparing business to a marathon. And I remember after I read, I think it was something about running. And yeah. I remember reading that and just being like, so inspired that I feel like we always think our lives are too boring mm-hmm. to like write about. And that really inspired me to be like, oh, okay. So I can really turn any part of my daily life into
for sure.
a learning lesson, you know, but as far as messaging, other than the Volt thing, I think just really nailing our webinar messaging. So then when we bring anyone onto the team, it's like, for example, we just hired someone to do Instagram and other social media, a full-time employee. And after 5 days, I would say he's about like 50 to 60% trained in, which is incredible. Amazing. Like I've not been able to do that in the past. Uh-huh. And one of the ways was just he spent 2 full days just going through all of our messaging, taking our course, going through our webinar. And so, yeah, I mean, really, it's funny. I remember when we started the new business, a Facebook status I made was, in order to have a successful business, you need to like the most, what was it? The number one thing you need to conquer to have a successful business is your messaging. And there's so many comments of people being like, I disagree. It's ads or it's groups or it's this or it's that. And I think maybe they misunderstand what I was saying, because if you don't have messaging, you can't have ads. If you don't have messaging, you can't have a Facebook group. You can't have sales. You can't have anything. So it definitely is the first thing you need to really master.
For sure. And you do such a good job of systematizing that, which does allow you then, when you have gone deep in one platform, to then be able to scale to others without it being you, because you've done the heavy lifting, you've done the hard work, and now you can hand that to your Pinterest people or to whoever and say, go to town. Here it is. And you know that it's going to attract the right people, because that's the whole purpose of your messaging, is to get the right people in the door, to show them what's possible, and then invite them to join your course creation stuff. So it's really, nobody talks about that, do they?
I agree. People don't talk enough about messaging. I did learn you and I both have learned messaging over the years from a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. But I do agree. Like, so one of Jamie's mentors is Stu McLaren and one of my mentors is Russell Brunson. I feel like both of them talk pretty well about messaging as well, but
yeah,
I don't feel like it's talked about enough.
Yeah. Or how to systematize it and really hand that off to people. Because like, I was like you, I always thought I had to have a new message for every blog post mm-hmm. and a new lesson and teach something different every single time. So I'm like, gosh, I'm going to run out of content. Actually, I just stopped blogging.
You know what, Jamie? This is a really good example of this, actually. So I'm just going to quickly talk about Clubhouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whether you think it's cool or not, I think this is a good lesson. So all my friends are telling me, you know, Clubhouse. And Jamie's like, you got to get on Clubhouse, right? And I fought it for so long. I'm like, I don't want to.
I remember the post.
I'm all about focus. I'm like, I don't want to be on Clubhouse. But then we have this challenge coming up and my whole main job is to drive traffic. So I'm like, okay, well, let me just try this out. Right. So me being who I am today, I was like, I'm going to track all my stats and really look at the numbers and see like, is Clubhouse worth it? And you know, so I don't remember exactly, but I remember my very first Clubhouse room, I ended up getting like 50 to 200 opt-ins for my challenge. It was insane. Like my first room, I'm like, wow. I mean, that would cost me, you know, like $1,000 in ads or whatever it was. Actually, I'm really bad at math. So let's see, like 200. Okay. So yeah, $1,600 in ads. And I'm like, so, okay. But it was 2 hours of my time. I'm like, so that's like, okay, you know, let's keep going with this. Right. But the thing that I learned about Clubhouse is I notice a lot of my friends, not Jamie, other people are not recycling their messaging. So they'll do like a new room with a new title, new content, all this new stuff. Or like, let's say their core product is about one thing. I notice they're talking on Clubhouse about something completely different. And then they're coming to me and saying, you know, why am I not getting as many opt-ins as you or sales or whatever that is? And it's because I just repeat the same thing over and over and over on Clubhouse, over and over and over. So like I'm not even kidding you. You can go right now. I mean, depending on when you watch this, but I have 8 rooms scheduled. All of them have the exact same title, word for word, the exact same description, word for word. And I just do Q&A and I repeat, people only ask the same, 25 questions. So I'm really repeating myself and just driving people to that opt-in page. And it works so crazy good. Like 1 hour equals about 100 opt-ins right now for my challenge.
That's amazing.
And I just think it's a good example of you don't need more than, one solid message, really.
Well, and the beauty of that is that because Clubhouse isn't recorded, mm-hmm. you can do the same thing again and again and again, and people don't feel like it's repetitive, and they, if they miss it, it's not a big deal. It's new people with new questions, so it's not always the same. It's so smart. And you're really learning their limiting beliefs and their issues mm-hmm. because you're talking to a lot.
Every question is like false belief. Exactly.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's one thing I want to start doing is weekly Clubhouse rooms. I'm going to say it here. I haven't said it publicly yet, Molly. 10 a.m. on Wednesdays, Central Time. I need to now schedule it and do it.
You can do that because you have your podcast systemized and you're hiring someone to help you.
Yeah. And I think, and the crazy thing is I have gotten so many Clubhouse followers without trying.
Little tip, if you just schedule a room, I had my 8 rooms scheduled a month in advance. I was getting consistent followers without even having going live.
That's amazing. I've gone from about 1500 to 1992 right now. I've done very few rooms, few rooms. Like, and it's pretty cool. I'm excited about Clubhouse.
Left last month, because I only go on to promote my challenge.
Yeah.
So it's been a month since I've been on, and I jumped up over 1,000 and I wasn't even on the platform. So
yeah. So what's your handle on Clubhouse in case people want to find you?
Oh yeah. Let me check.
Mine's at Jamie Bright. Yours?
Mine is at Molly, M-O-L-L-Y, Kaiser, K-E-Y-S-E-R.
Okay. I'll put that in the show notes too, as long as I don't forget. Fair enough. So what you're doing is amazing. And I remember when we were on there together at first, because you remember we started together a few things and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm getting this. And you were sharing your stats and
you really helped me because this is basically what happened. I'm like, okay, Jamie, I finally did it. I joined. What should I do? And you just like rattle off a bunch of tips and I just ran with it. And like, I really still to this day haven't really done much different.
But it's working. That's all that matters. And I did a podcast episode back in January or December on Clubhouse. So if you guys want to hear the tips, you can go there and listen. So just go check that out. But yeah,
I have love Clubhouse it. SOP. So just to tie that into the topic of this, like everything is like a focus and a system. So yeah.
And can you explain what an SOP is in case somebody's not?
Yeah. So it stands for standard operating procedure, but that's just a fancy word, a few fancy words for it's a checklist of like step-by-step what you need to do. So like, once I feel like I quote unquote mastered Clubhouse for me, I made a checklist. That way it's like, okay, if I don't go on for a month and come back, I'll actually remember what I did to have success with that. Because if you're anything like me, you will forget immediately.
Yeah, dude, I can't even remember my kids' names half the time. So I need everything written down.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast. I don't know. I didn't totally even know it was March. So
it's hilarious.
I couldn't even remember my Clubhouse handle, and it's just my first and last name. Like, seriously.
We don't have to think about those things. Like, that mental load, man, when you can let it, that's a really good point too, is that the beauty of creating those processes is that you have less to keep in your head. And so you don't have to carry that, because there's so many things we're thinking about and so many things we have to do in our businesses. And if you don't have the space to really think through things and have that clarity. If you've got all of these things weighing on your mind and you lay down in bed at night and you're thinking of your to-do list, like that's heavy. And mm-hmm. so when you can create these SOPs and just like not have to worry about it and like hand them off to somebody else to do, like maybe you can't do that on Clubhouse yet. You could though, you could hire a student to run a room or a coach using
it. Pretty much outsource everything except for the actual speaking.
Right. I mean, you could because you have these SOPs in place. And that's just so powerful. And you just create them as you go. I have my team members, when we do something new, I have them create their own SOP. Like you don't have to create all of them. You can have your people create them. So also another thing.
They're good for everything Jamie just said. Plus when you're onboarding new people, plus if you ever want to create a course about a topic, you can literally just grab all your SOPs and include them in your program.
Which people love.
Yeah. Like my Clubhouse SOP is like a bonus for when you join my program. So people love it.
Yes, for sure. No, that's wonderful. So, I love that so much, man. So Molly, is there any other mindsets? Actually, you know what I would like to talk about is, we said something before we started recording. You go ahead. You've got something.
I was just going to say, I do have a big mindset piece about hiring. Do you think that that's something that.
Sure. Bring it. Okay. This is, can go anywhere. This is like. Okay. Fun conversation people get to eavesdrop in.
So I'll explain it really quickly, but basically with my last company, I feel like a lot of my hiring decisions were based on, let me start over. So with my hiring, I actually had a mentor and I asked that person, how do I know when it's time to hire someone? And they said, hire where it hurts. And I thought, okay, well, that means, you know, if I'm feeling overwhelmed with something, I should make a list of those things and hire someone to fulfill those duties. And that's not necessarily horrible. However, I have learned that there's a better way to go about it. So when you're building a business, the whole point of the business is to make money, right? To make a profit. If you don't want to make a profit, then, you know, you shouldn't have a business. It should be a hobby or something else, a foundation, whatever that is.
Work for someone else, whatever. Yeah.
A business is to make profit. And so the mindset shift that I've really made recently is where can I think of in my business, not where I'm busy, but where can I find the most leverage? So for example, this person we just hired, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not really busy with Instagram. I'm not really busy with YouTube. I'm not busy with these things because we're not currently doing them because I don't have the time to do them, right? But if I have someone doing these things, and then I did the calculation, okay, if they can get X amount of opt-ins, I know that X percentage of those will convert into a sale. So that means this person needs to get X amount of opt-ins per month to double or triple their salary. So then you just come up with, okay, what are their 30, 60, 90 day goals? As long as you're setting the correct goals with the correct measurements, then you can bring someone on even before you quote unquote have the money for them, because they will be paying for themselves. And if they don't pay for themselves, which you will know because you will be tracking these things, then you let them go. And it's not emotional, it's business. And this was a really hard lesson for me to learn. You know, I would bring people on and I like to befriend people and, you know, I like to get really close with people. And then it was really my fault. I wasn't measuring things correctly. And so I would ask my mentors, you know, well, how do I know if this person's doing a good job? How do I know if I should let them go? And now it's clear, you know, you set number goals, not a goal of like make Instagram look pretty, but, you know, drive X amount of opt-ins from Instagram, which they would then convert into sales. And if they meet that goal, they remain an employee or they can move on up or whatever. And if not, then you'd let them go. So anyways, the mindset shift is thinking about hiring more in terms of the business and the logic and the stats behind it versus the emotion of like, where do I feel I need help? I actually don't even let myself say that anymore. I don't let myself say like, where do I feel we need help in the business? Where do I feel like the word feel for me in business? I just don't go there anymore because it's all about the stats. And I know old me would be like, that's so boring, but business is about profit.
It is. And I know it's not that you're an unfeeling person by any means. Yeah. But
I'm actually a very feeling and emotional person, which is why it's hard for me to change to this, but yeah.
No, but you're so right. And you know how many leads they need to bring in to make money because you know your statistics, you know how many people are going to convert. And they will know what success looks like. And if you know that number when you're hiring them, they know the expectation up front. So if they don't think they can do it, if they're not qualified, they're not going to take the job because they're going to get fired when they can't do it. So it's like, it helps.
Better for the employee. I can't imagine, like, I mean, apology to any of my best employees that are listening to this that had no expectations, you know, we all start somewhere and we all have to learn those things, but it's like, yeah, I mean, you need those numbers and those boundaries for the employee and for yourself. Agreed.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I'm currently hiring an assistant right now. And for me, it was looking at, you know, is this the highest use of my time? And it was identifying what are the key things that I need to have in place in my business to keep the momentum moving forward at a bare minimum. And am I actually doing them and doing them consistently? And frankly, the answer is no, because my life has been a little crazy. And so I was like, okay, well, I need to hire somebody to keep, these are the bare minimum things that need to happen. I want podcasts coming out at least once a week. I want to be getting on as a guest on other people's podcasts is at a minimum on average once per week. And I want somebody to help me do that. And so I know if I do those things, everything else will continue to grow. And so that's literally how I designed this job. Like description was here. It's not a high level thing, but it's just keeping that consistency, keeping all of that. Like I need those drivers in my business because I know they will move me forward. So when you know that, it makes hiring a lot easier, and then can measure that. So it's beautiful. I love that. Okay. So I have to share before we hit record. Well, we are probably recording, but out of context. we talked about a question that we've both been asking ourselves lately.
Oh, yeah.
What if it were simple? Tell me, where has that come up for you and how has that been shaping what you're doing?
So I know this is a lot about comparing then and now. So with my last business, I was very stressed out. I felt like I didn't have time for myself. I realized though that I didn't have the right boundaries. I wasn't making that time for myself. And things felt very, very hard pretty much all the time. Like it was a lot. It was very chaotic, honestly. With my new business, the whole purpose around my husband and I creating the strategy for this is for it to be simple, is for us to have work boundaries and have a life and remain calm. And so far, so good. It's been really awesome. Business by design. But anyways.
No, it is.
So yeah, I guess when I started the new business, as soon as I started to feel any kind of stress or chaos or anything of any kind, I don't know exactly what helped me to ask this question. I'm probably assuming my amazing therapist has helped me to come realize this. But I remember I was just like panicking over something in the business, like I normally would. And I stopped and I just asked myself in my head, you know, what if I just allowed this to be easy? Like, what if I'm the one that's, you know, because a business, it ultimately is a reflection of you. So I'm like, what if I'm the one creating all this chaos? What if I'm the one, you know, not allowing myself to have space for myself or whatever that is, or bringing on this stress. Like, what if I just let this be easy and just see what happens? Because a lot of times, you know, if I don't meet a goal, or when you're first starting your business, you don't know if something's going to work, and I'll be like super nervous, like, will this work? And it has allowed things to be easier, I have to say. It sounds like if I heard this 2 years ago, I would be like, oh yeah, easy for you to say, that's woo woo. It's not like it's not like hard to implement that thing. But I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll help you, maybe it won't, but just ask yourself, you know, what if you allow this to be easy? And what if you just actually allow it to be, and then see what happens and go from there?
Yeah. And I've been looking at my business and saying, what if it were simple? Like, what if I don't want to be on Facebook? How can I make it simple and not be there? I'm like, that would simplify. So and it's fun. You know, I have to laugh that you went into Facebook groups as your first platform, because like you've been a group person for ages, but like I've rocked the snot out of Facebook groups, and like I love engaging in Facebook groups. And I know sometimes for you that can be heavy. Like you do it great and you automate it.
What's funny about the new business is it's not heavy for me anymore. We can talk about that more later, but
yeah, that I don't know if we have time to get to everything, but I know like my tendency is to spend lots of time in Facebook groups because I enjoy it, and yours is not. Like on the surface, I know we can automate, and I know it's not hard for you anymore because you've got it down. And that would be a great podcast topic for sure. But I think it's hilarious. I have not done a Facebook group. I haven't actually even done a free community, and I'm doing all of my community on the back end as part of my business. Whereas mm-hmm. you are going more into community now, I think, than you did in the past on the front end in a beautiful way. And you've figured out your thing. And it's just very funny to me to see kind of like the flip flop of roles. And
yeah, I think it just all depends on what your product is and who your people are. Like for you, a podcast totally. Makes so much sense. For me, I actually did try a podcast in the beginning because I've done podcasts in the past with success, but it just didn't get the traction that I wanted. So I tested it, and that's the beauty too, is you can test something and go all in on it and give yourself that time. And if it's for you, great. And if not, you can try something else.
Totally. And really that question of what if it were easy? Like the idea of having to nurture a free community when I've been going through a lot of personal change didn't feel easy to me. It didn't feel light. And it felt a little bit like a burden. And I said, okay, well, if it were easy, it would look different. And what might that look like? And even my marketing, I'm like, well, what if I don't want high volumes of traffic, but instead want high traffic that has a high amount of trust? Like, I don't need a lot.
Quality, yeah.
High quality, perfect people. And the corollary to that is, what if they sought me out instead of me making this massive, crazy, difficult effort to have to find each and every one? So that's the question I've been chewing on a lot. Like, what would it take to attract the right people to me, as opposed to like trying to convince or market them to me? Which I know it's subtle.
That's exactly why. So this question, same thing, I've been asking myself it a lot. And that's exactly why I actually decided to do a course specifically. It's going to be different for everyone, obviously. But like, for me, that's what I feel is like, quote unquote, easy, right? Like I've done high ticket sales. I've done all those different things. And just like you, you know, you don't want to feel that sales push. And like, I don't either. Like, who wants to spend all day convincing people that they should buy your thing? Like, you know, they should, you know, you should have good enough messaging or whatever that you need for people to see that they need it. And if not, you know, peace out, because no one wants to have that stress of like trying to convince people all day. That's why I did a course, because then I won't have to be doing that. It's like people can get into my funnel and they can watch my program for free. And if they want more, they buy it. And if not, that's cool, you know? And also recently, or about a month ago, I was like, oh, what could our second product be? What could our next product be? And I'm drawing a funnel and I'm just like, oh, it's for the future, you know? And then I'm just like, Molly, what are you doing? Like, if it's simple, if you want things simple, why do you want a second product? Like, why? I know I can make the same amount of money with less effort, just focusing on this one thing. So I'm like, why am I doing this? And so, yeah, I think it's a really important question.
Well, and I think sometimes for me, I feel a lot of worth from checking things off the busy list. Like when I'm busy, then I deserve the success that I've earned. Mm. Whereas, and this is a huge mindset shift that I've been leaning into, I don't want to work more than 10 to 15 hours a week. And that means I don't want to create a job. I want to architect a business and bring other people in to be a part of it. Like, I genuinely want to build the building for other people to occupy and run and manage, and not like a physical building, but just that idea of that container. I want to be the visionary. I want to be the leader, the inspirer. Yeah. Like, I want to draw in the right people. But I don't want to do the stuff. It's kind of that whole book by Dan Sullivan, Who Not How. And it's a huge shift for me, because before it was, oh, look at that. It's a post that she's putting up on the screen on Zoom. It says, find the who. Hold on. Let me take a screenshot of this. I will post this in our little Telegram channel or on Instagram. That's fantastic. It says, find the who, not the how. Absolutely. And that's a huge shift for me, is that I don't want to be doing it all myself anymore. I know that other, like, it means letting go of control, and it means letting go of the sense that I have to work hard for my money. And I don't, like, to feel like I deserve it, which is just baloney. It's crazy.
I can so relate to that. I think a lot of people can relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if money was easy, it feels like you almost feel guilty about it. Like
you're shifting from an employee mindset to a business owner mindset.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's taken me 10 freaking years to make that shift.
14. Yep.
But I'm finally there and I'm really excited about it. And I no longer feel guilty about hiring somebody to make my job easier. I used to feel bad about doing things for me.
I used to message my employees and be like, what can I help you with? Like, I work for them. Like, I think it's two we're from the Midwest. Like,
probably. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm asking you to do this, even though I'm paying you.
I'm so sorry, I'm asking you questions today. It's like, wait a minute.
I genuinely felt guilty giving them tasks. I'm like, wait a minute. Yep. They want to be paid. They want to do something, you know, like they enjoy their work. They want to be working with me. Why do I keep doing their job for them and feeling bad and not really allowing them to shine? And it's just, we could go deep into all this mindset stuff, but I think that might be a good place for us to kind of wrap up. Molly, can you share where people can find you if they would like to hear more about what you're doing, or maybe they want to add a course into their business, whatever it is? How can they stalk you and find you?
Yeah. So I would love to be friends. I'm actually hosting a free 5-day course creation challenge. It starts March 22nd of 2021. So if you're listening to this before then, you can go to profitablecourses.com/challenge. And Jamie, I'll have a link in the show notes, I'm sure.
And then, as long as you give it to me.
I know, as long as I remember to give it to her. And then if you're listening after that, we do the challenge multiple times a year. So you can go to the link and sign up for the next one. So yeah, I'd love to see you there. And whether you want to be friends or check out what I'm doing or build a course, you know, I'm here for you.
Yeah. And you can be friends with Molly, but not best friends, because I claim that status.
That's taken.
Awesome, Molly. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast. If you are enjoying these conversations, or there's someone that you think should definitely be on the podcast, I would love it if you would hop over to Instagram and drop me a DM at Jamie Bright Adventures. I wanted to start doing more of these conversations because I think there's so much knowledge to be learned. And frankly, it's just really fun for me to have conversations with people that I love and respect and get to introduce you to some of my favorite people in this space who are just crushing it and who are insanely brilliant. And I personally always kind of find it fun to listen in to conversations and see where they go. So let me know what you think about them. Really curious. I hope you're enjoying them as much as I'm enjoying recording them. And with that, my friend, don't ever forget that we are brighter together and the world needs us. So let's go out and make it brighter.